When that gold line coffee hit the back of your throat, you got four delicious flavors. This ain't your grandma's pit water. This is gold line coffee, and it is the official coffee of hockey.
Hey guys, welcome back. This is the second part of the interview series. As everybody knows here at Get the Puck Out, we are in the dog days of summer. The news is sparse, but the news definitely wasn't sparse for our guest today. We are bringing back for the second time now, Nikki Giordano. She's the founder of Pucker Up Sports, the all-female sports publication. Nikki, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. I just opened up a nice, I was going to do rum and coke for this, but switched it up, doing a little vodka soda lime, and that's it, you know, enjoying the night.
Nice. I'm definitely whiskey diet coke myself.
Whiskey diet coke day. Geez, you must be having a long week.
It's been a very long week, but all good. All good things.
Yeah, definitely. So pucker up, big first season there, and then all of a sudden you're popping up with a couple more avenues to create content. Why don't you let people know what's going on?
Yeah, so we decided to kind of keep it, you know, going while it's hot, and we expanded to Philadelphia and Tampa. The official expansions are going to launch September 1st. But we have like the socials created and all that type of stuff. And we started the hiring process. So it's been really awesome. The response has been great. I'm super excited. I'm from the Philadelphia area. So that expansion is near and dear to my heart. And then Alexa, who's been my A1, day one, pucker up girl. She just moved to Tampa for college. So she's kind of spearheading that expansion, which I know she'll do amazing with. So it's been really exciting. The response has been great, and I can't wait to continue getting content out to different cities. And our team is going to be about 32 girls by the start of the season, which is crazy. Wow. Yeah,
that's impressive. And I know I think it's only probably been what, 3 or 4 months since we last spoke, and now you live in DC. You're not living in Philly no more. And it's really cool to see the progress you made. And I know that you weren't there yourself, but you guys were at the NHL All-Star game this past year, were you not?
We were. Yeah, Annie, who's the head of my Toronto chapter, headed out there with credentials, and she had a blast. It was awesome. We had some hiccups. We were credentialed for the event. There were some issues with picking up credentials for the red carpet and things, but at the end of the day, it worked out. Sadly, I could not be there. I just made the move to DC and just stuff with work and didn't work out.
But this season,
I'm hopeful to get to everything. Winter Classic, All-Star Game, awards, you name it. That's the goal. So hopefully I'll be able to be in attendance for all of that.
Yeah, definitely. And St. Louis has the All-Star game this year. I was thinking of going down. I'm trying to stay at my buddy Ken Bone's place. I'm sure you know him in the States. We're thinking we're going to go down there and drink a few bottles of whiskey with Ken Bone and get after it. We're trying to put that together right now. Ken's actually, it's funny because he was on the news and wore his big red sweater. And the story of why he even wore the red sweater to begin with is hilarious because he ripped the ass out of his suit pants.
Oh, my God.
Leading up to it. So his wife made him go change. He's actually like the least dorkiest guy I've ever met in my life. He's an animal, that guy. I don't think he stopped drinking since they won the cup.
Hey, I mean,
but no, going back to your expansion, you're credentialed down for the Phantoms as well, right? So you'll actually be jumping into the AHL mix of things, which is always it's such a great league. And with the amount of how hockey's a young guy's game now, the OHL and the Canadian Hockey Leagues and the younger leagues get a lot of attention, but the AHL is such a great product.
It's fantastic. We were credentialed for the Hershey Bears last season, and I loved it. I loved being up there. The atmosphere was wonderful. The Bears have a great organization, a great fan base, and I really liked watching these prospects grow. There's just so much talent, and I think in the AHL, you really get a chance to be kind of, you know, delve into the players' stories and their backgrounds. So the goal is to be credentialed for every AHL team, all of our pucker up cities. So they're all in the works. Nothing official yet, but fingers crossed in the next couple of weeks. So we're officially all in on creds for Hershey and the Phantoms, which is great. The Phantoms are also a great organization. I grew up going to Phantoms games, so that'll be really cool. And Becky, I just hired Becky to do journalism work for the Phantoms, so she'll be there in the press box throughout the season. So it'll be really fun.
Yeah, no, that's really exciting stuff. And thinking about all you've accomplished in the next year, it'll be crazy to think about what you'll be talking about next summer.
Right.
That said, this has been such a quiet summer. You know, we were promised like the most news ever, but you know, it's impossible. I remember when we first had you on, I was a little nervous due to the content that I create and just the type of human being that I am having someone like you on. But it ended up being perfectly great. And I just want to bring it up, obviously, because we talked about it a bit then with the U.S. women's hockey team. Since then, the equal pay fight with the U.S. women's soccer team has really amped up. And, you know, someone like me, I always took the position of, yeah, you should definitely be paid your fair share, but it all depends what your league's generating as far as revenue. Mm-hmm. Well, when you average those dollars out for the women's soccer team, I saw that they're making 38 cents on the dollar to what an American male soccer player makes.
Yeah.
Which is unbelievably horrible, because I'm pretty sure the women's team are better than the men.
You know, it all comes down to, I think I talked about this last time we were on, but this was in regards to women hockey players, but it's the same thing. They, and you know, if you listen to some of their interviews and stuff, they're not even asking to make the same amount as the men. And the only reason they're not asking to make the exact same is because the way the leagues work and, you know, the men's soccer league overall brings in more money than women's soccer in general. So like, you know, they said they understand that, you know, it's not going to be dollar for dollar, but they deserve a raise. They deserve, you know, livable and just...
Yeah, they should get the same piece of their pie, right? If they're generating that much, they still shouldn't be getting 38 cents of a dollar worth out of that. Yeah, That's bullshit.
100%. And not enough attention. I feel like now they're getting attention, you know, because of all the blah and everything that's going on. But that attention needs to stay throughout the year. You know, it needs to be not just a couple weeks out of the year, you know, every other year. It needs to be all the time.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important. And it's just, I love what those women are doing. I think they're just kicking ass, taking names. They're not whining about anything. They're just proving themselves, which I think is awesome. I think the best way to get what you want is to go out there and take it. And that's exactly what they're doing. So I think they're really great, like strong role models for young women. And I think that's also really important to see, you know, strong females taking what they deserve.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, we're in a day and age now where it's never been so open for the taking, right? And it's going to take people like whatever you think of. I always say her last name wrong. Megan Rapport. Is that how you say it? Or
I'm Canadian. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm Canadian, so I'm bad with names.
I'm
actually, she's Megan, like, Rapinoe? You know. Yeah. Whatever, you know, people have, you know, there's so many things with her, right? Like, it just showed you kind of how the whole sports market in general is unfair to females, because, you know, LeBron James can go out there and be like the cockiest prick in the world. And Megan comes out with a bit of swagger and all of a sudden she's like a bad human being and she's this and she's that. And I don't even necessarily know if I would like her as a person, but I admire the fact that she goes out there and is super confident in herself. And you know what, when the time mattered in her sport too, she stepped up and delivered. So like, what's the difference? Everyone makes such a fame out of Conor McGregor, who is the same way. And Muhammad Ali is the most decorated sports athlete maybe of all time. And he was as arrogant of a guy as you would ever meet and confident in himself. So it does show you that there's still a ways to go.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's ridiculous that, you know, the Cavs won, they're walking around shirtless for fucking all summer, and that's fine. But you know, the second that women want to celebrate and get drunk and, you know, speak their minds, it's just people are so upset about it. And it's, I mean, it's bullshit, to be quite frank. It's just ridiculous. I feel like there's just is such a long way to go. And it's like every time that you take one step forward, it kind of shows that there's still so much work that needs to be done. And there's still so many men and women, it's not just men, who have this internalized misogyny that is just not going away anytime
soon. Well, yeah, because there's these women who just hate other women out there. And I see it in hockey journalism a lot. I mean, I'm not going to use names, but you know exactly kind of the avenues and the people I'm probably talking about. But you see it there, too. There is women who just despise other women in sports. Just any other women in sports. They get almost like, it's almost like there's such an environment created where maybe they feel like they're kind of out of place. So they want to like be the only woman there or something, but I see it, man. It's a fight out there.
It's hard, and I think like that's something I'm really lucky that all of the girls that I have currently on my Pucker Up team, like, they're really empowering one another. If someone gets an interview, like, everyone's excited. You know, it's not like, oh man, like, you got this interview and I didn't. Like, we're all building each other up and creating this network of strong women, which is great. And I think that, you know, while there are some women that aren't treating other females the way they should, we've gotten a lot better. I think that when I'm 25, but when I was like in high school and middle school, there was so much cattiness between girls. And I think that's changed a lot. My sister is 16 now, and there really isn't that petty drama or that competition as bad as it used to be. But there still definitely is so much internal misogyny. And that's just how people are raised. I think it's, you know, not something that can change overnight. And, you know, I think I struggled with that when I was growing up too, you know, thinking, well, I want to do this to, you know, impress a man, or I can be, you know, just like a man. And I realized I don't need to be like a man. I can be like myself.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's something that just is a learning curve, and we need to realize that. And the strong female role models are so important, because now little girls are looking up to, you know, these badass women, and, you know, they actually have someone to look up to, and we're not using, you know, you throw like a girl as an insult anymore, or boys will be boys. I think we're kind of, as a society, getting better with all of that, which is making a big difference.
Yeah, definitely. There's always the line between having like being respectfully fun and being rude. And, you know, a lot of times in sports, people don't know how to walk that threshold. And even sometimes on your stuff too, being an all-female publication, I've seen people try to like correct your opinion on something like maybe you don't know just because you're a female. Meanwhile, like these guys that are making you out to be that way can't even decide what shirt to wear, or their girlfriend will beat them. So it's pretty funny to see that. It's always those type of guys that are like that too. It's so funny.
It's the worst. It's awful.
Yeah, no, definitely. Just quickly, I want to mention this because a lot of the time with this equal pay issue, and then we'll move on to some other funny stuff here. We'll get into the fun stuff, but it's an important topic. And one thing that I find is that a lot of the times the message gets a little skewed almost, because I find that when people are upset, sometimes they're directing the anger too towards the wrong people, like the sponsors in the TV programming and the directors of the leagues themselves. Like, you know, all these companies are all about, oh, their diversity. And you see it in every major corporation. And even in my own corporation, they, you know, everyone wants diversity and inclusion is a super important thing, but be about it, put the sponsorship dollars there. Like, no one's going to these big companies who are spending, you know, who are making hundreds of millions of dollars a year and not paying any taxes. But like, if they're so down with some social justice and female equality, put your money where your mouth is. They're the ones who control it at the end of the day.
100%. And that, you know, that same exact issue, not to kind of put, it's the same thing with women's hockey. I mean, it's the same exact situation where, you know, these players and the NHL are saying, well, you know, we care. No, well, you don't care, because put your money, like you said, put your money where your mouth is.
Even the players, I haven't seen one player come out or anything or say, I'm going to donate money, or I'm going to put this in, or I'm going to, look, it's the league. I saw the league cut a check for $100,000. That's bullshit. That isn't enough. I think we talked, I think this is what was going on the last time we talked. Yeah. And since then, they haven't done a goddamn thing.
No, and it's, you know, they want to make money off of the hockey is for everyone slogan, and, you know, off of all of the, you know, the advertisements and the Nike commercials, and, you know, they're using that to make money for themselves, but they're not pouring that money back into these organizations.
Not at all.
And it's disappointing, because it's not, you need to spend money to make money. You know, these, you know, all men leagues were not making millions and millions of dollars when they first got started. People poured money into them, you know, like owners pour money into buying teams, and, you know, they're not doing that with women's sports. And women's sports, people are interested. It's not that they don't have an audience. People are more interested now than ever. And it shouldn't be just a business endeavor, but even if it is, people should be investing.
Definitely. And I mean, it's
ridiculous. I don't understand it. I prefer to watch women's soccer over men's soccer. Like, I'm not saying that just to say it. I do. It's entertaining to me. It's just so darn frustrating.
Yeah, no, you're right there too. It's funny because the men, you see them, like, you touch Cristiano Ronaldo on the shoulder and he'll go down like he's shot. But you see these girls and they're tugging on each other, pulling each other's like hair ponytails back, and like they play really hard and they're so aggressive. And yeah, you're right. It's a better game to watch, and that's not just from a perspective issue. The 2015 Women's World Cup, which got beat by this year, was this year's World Cup final was the most watched U.S. soccer event in American history. No men's team has ever put up the ratings that the women put up, and they're there making 38 cents on the dollar. I'm like, you know, I try to stay out of these kind of things, but it's like, holy, that's garbage, that's BS, and all these networks and everyone else and the advertisers are getting away with murder while putting no money into the league. They're just paying the station. It's like, yeah, why don't you put your money where your mouth is, instead of hiring two girls and one brown person or something like that. You know what I mean? Why don't you actually put some money into these leagues and put some money into real programs that are actually going to make a difference? It's all a show. That's what's annoying about it.
Exactly.
A lot of the times from corporations and even the NHL, it's all a show.
Very frustrating. And, you know, it's just, I mean, I could go on a tangent, which I won't, but it's just, yeah, it's just kind of ridiculous at the end of the day. And there also needs to be like proper media coverage, and you know, people need to give these leagues and these women the same coverage that they give the NHL and, you know, men's soccer.
And people will watch, especially like women's hockey. Like, if you're that worried about competing, run the league in the summertime. If the CWHL was still on right now and TSN, say, for example, where I am in Canada, had it on, I would watch. I have no hockey. Like, I'm having hockey withdrawals. Like, you have to run a league, and you have to use strategy sometimes. Like, it just seems like none of that has gone into it. And I just, that's why I said, like, the advertisers and the television stations, they have a part in this too.
100%. I mean, you have these marketing teams, these specialists that are the best of the best. You know, they're Ivy League educated. They have years of experience. They can make anything gold. You know, you have this huge platform and no one's using it for good. Everyone's just using it to make themselves money. And I think it's really frustrating because at the end of the day, like, these women put their whole lives into their sport. You know, they're from when they're 3 years old until now. 7 days a week, they're working out. They're traveling the world playing. You know, they're giving up time with their family, just like men are. Am I saying that any male athlete deserves $10 million a year? Fuck no. But like,
nobody deserves that, man. That's craziness. And I mean, when you really put it into perspective, there's your problem right there, right? Like, there's the problem right there. You see Jeff Bezos, like, what about Jeff Bezos, Amazon? His wife just got like $34 billion, which is like, I think, or something crazy like that, or $70 billion in a divorce settlement. It's like, she should kick that back into some female sports. She's got more, she just became the richest female ever. Like all these people with the money, J.K. Rowling, like, put some money into sports. I want to see some female sports money being thrown in, because it's pathetic that girls were playing professional hockey in Toronto and weren't even making enough money to cover 2 months' rent over a whole season. Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And then, you know, they're expected to, I don't even know how they're expected to work a full-time job. Coming from someone who, I work a full-time job on top of Pucker Up, and I am so busy sometimes I can barely sneeze. Like, I don't understand how they expect these women to play a professional sport. And then obviously they need supplemental income. And Toronto, like, you know, is an expensive city.
Oh,
like,
hell yeah.
I mean, it's just, it blows my mind. I don't understand it. And something needs to change. Or these women, I mean, like they're doing, they're just not going to play. Because
I would sit out, and it's on, and I just hope that someone along the way puts more onus on the television companies and puts more onus on all the sponsorship, all the people running ads and things like that. They should be doing more. But moving into something a little more fun, as we've reached almost like the 20th minute of this, so we did get a good chat in on this. You got a shot glass over there?
I do. I will find one.
All right. Well, let's get a shot in quickly here. When we hit the 20th minute, you know, it's like a shot clock. Although that's 24 seconds. Again, I'm Canadian. I only watch hockey, so. while we're getting that ready here, why don't you let everyone know on social media where they can find you?
Yes. So, I'm at Pucker Up Sports on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. My personal Twitter is Nikki_Giordano. And then, all the Pucker Up expansions. So we're at Pucker Up Bruins, at Pucker Up Toronto, at Pucker Up. Actually, I'm making sure I'm giving the right at Pucker Up Philly and at Pucker Up Tampa.
Awesome.
Once you kind of go to the Pucker Up Sports, everything else is pretty easy to find.
Yeah, you guys share a lot of the other posts from the other accounts. So once you get to the main Pucker Up account, you can basically navigate your way through the different accounts. After we get this shot into us, we're going to break in. I know that you're running an all-female publication. And with that, we live in the technology age. And anyone who's on Twitter knows Twitter is the weirdest place possibly on planet Earth. It's like the matrix of weirdos. It's hard to explain. And we got to get into one or two cringe stories that you have.
For sure.
I know even for me personally, I had someone make a fake Twitter account someone in Toronto, because I said Mitch Marner deserved to be paid as much as Austin Matthews. And that was a very strange thing. But I can only imagine. I mean, you know, I'm not here to put down other men, but, you know, I have seen some like Slay Queen posts on some of your posts and like You Go Girls from guys, which makes me think that the DMs are all sorts of crazy. So maybe we can get into some cringe stories.
I am down for that. I'm always down for some cringe stories because there are a lot of them.
give us the all-time worst one right off the hop here.
You know, I don't know if there's a like all-time worst. Like, I don't think I've ever had. Okay, actually, I lie.
Because I knew it. You can't tell me. I'm a guy. I know this.
Someone found my cell phone number somehow. And I don't know if it was through like public record, like within Pucker Up. Like, I know that I do have my number attached to the company, like, you know, when it comes to like legal filing and things like that. But I don't have my number public anywhere, obviously. And I got a text message from someone with just like graphic photos. And like, he had my social media like platforms. I had no idea who the guy was.
Oh my God.
I guess more like that's more scary than cringeworthy.
And like, I mean, plus no one wants, like, let's call it what it is. No one's trying to open their phone to a random dick pic ever.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, like, that was just like very like, I don't know, like unsettling.
It's like very invasive. Like, I mean, I imagine you've probably had people find your personal accounts.
Oh yeah, I mean. My Facebook, I think that's also been like kind of a big issue. Like, I like to share a lot with social media. That's kind of like my bread and butter. Like, that's, you know, how I run my business. And I'm fine with that. I'm a really open person. But my Facebook is mine. Like, that's for me and my family. And like, I share my personal accomplishments on there. And, you know, I have like younger siblings and I don't really want people like on their profiles or my parents. Like, that's, you know, their lives. So kind of my one rule is, and like, my name on Facebook is not my real name. It's super hidden, but people find it and add me. That's kind of frustrating. Or, you know, message me on there and like, hey, like, can you follow me back on here? I'm like, I'm not even like any type of like influencer or social media. Like, I'm not at all. So I just can't imagine what it's like for girls that actually like have a
do that
platform.
For a career. Yeah.
It's crazy. And like, in, you know, this Instagram DM request and the message request on Twitter, just lots of, oh, your work is really good, but I think you're really pretty. Or, you know, oh, your work is really good, but can I get your number?
Yeah.
It's hard because like, okay, well, do you actually think my content is good, or like, are you just
trying to do you like what you see, or do you like what you see in the photos, right?
Yeah. It's tough to
tell. And like I said, like the Twitter world really opened up for me. I see some crazy shit on there, man. Like,
oh yeah,
women could make a lot of money if you throw your morals out the door. I'll say that. Men on Twitter are savage dogs, these guys. I saw, all right, we're gonna get into some crazy shit here. I've had a drink, so why not? We're loosened up here. I saw something. Someone retweeted it. I get to like, I follow back a few followers and people follow your accounts. And I don't know, somehow you get these weird people on your things. Well, sure enough, do I see this retweet from this girl? And it's like, I hope your wife's going to be happy when she found out I spent all your money. Here's my Cash App. And like all these guys were like, DM me. I'll try to send these girls crazy money just from like having some sexy video going on. Like it's the craziest time to be alive in the world, man. And like the internet, like Twitter is not a good thing for the male. Like as a male, it's not a good thing for our race. It's really exposing our faults, this app. I'm getting worried for my kind a little bit.
I think it's funny. You know, sometimes I'm like, yeah, girl, like you do you. Like if you're okay with, you know, making your money that way, like that's great. Like that's all, you know, whatever. But yeah, you're right. It definitely exposes men for what they are. I think like dating apps are the worst. I don't know why I still use them. But the cringeworthy stories on like dating apps are horrible. Like the messages sometimes I get, I'm just like, why? Like, did you think it was okay to send that? Like,
yeah, you know, that's gender, the one thing I don't. I don't miss having to be in that, because, like I said, the internet is just honestly, it is like I almost like consider it's like what like remember those 1930s back in the day with like the bearded woman and like the freak shows. That's basically what Twitter's become. Yeah. But there's just like all of us on the planet on it, and like just the weirdest shit happens ever. So sometimes like I see some of the replies on your posts or even your other female journalists, and like you can just see the intent behind it from some of these savage animals.
You know, a lot of it is I have a lot of girls that write for me that. You know, where now a lot of them actually have turned 18, but for a while there, they were under 18. And, you know, there's a lot of creepy men, and there's also pro athletes who I won't name drop, but have, you know, slid into the DMs of some of the girls that write for me. And that's not cool. That's not okay. Like if the girl's under 18, it makes it very well known. Like that's not okay. And like, I will stand up like for the girls that work for me. I'm like, yeah, like that's not cool. Like, you know, there was one guy.
And I'm not even going to try to press you for the name on that. I will definitely off interview, but yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
It just shows you, right? Like you can be a $6 million scumbag still. It doesn't matter,
I mean,
right?
Some guys are just
people, men are men, and that culture is still alive and well in hockey. Everybody knows it, right?
But, you know, luckily I have had really great experiences with all the athletes that I've met. You know, they really are just so kind and, they always treat me like everyone else. I don't think I'm so, so lucky that I've never had.
Oh yeah. It's like a one in a million kind of thing. Right? Like the guys are always good. I always say it, there's no sport in the world that's better than hockey as far as being charitable. And you know, you see someone like PK Subban, $10 million commitment to the Montreal hospital when he was there.
Oh yeah.
Just unbelievable.
But they're still men.
But deep down they're still men, right? We all have that there's that testosterone that burns, and so sometimes at 2 a.m. the you up text gets sauced, and that's just the way happens, I guess.
That's life. But I mean, like in you know, the press box or and stuff like that, like I've always been treated with so much respect. You know, even in the locker room, like, you know, locker room post game interviews, sometimes like they're walking out in compression shorts. Like it is what it is, like, and I like the fact that I'm not treated any differently. Like, I would feel more uncomfortable if they're like, oh, like, you know, let me go, like, change. Like, no, like, I'm here to do a job, you know?
Yeah, man, like, walking in your towel, it's cool, man. Like, adults here. It doesn't matter. Because I remember back in the day, Don Cherry, I think it was, said something like, oh, the women reporters shouldn't be allowed in the locker room. That's such a fucking crazy thing. Well, it's not that hard to just wrap a team given white towel around you and not walk around with your dong hanging out.
I mean, it's just
like that's easier than not having women there.
And like no professional journalist is even thinking that. Like it doesn't even cross my mind. I brought Like, I just, I don't know. That is, that Don Cherton, I don't even want to speak on him. He annoys me.
Yeah, Don Cherton's just old, right? He's one of those guys that, like, he's definitely one of the, you know, for, as far as being in Canada, like, he's like the Saturday night hockey guy. But, like, everyone knows he's also kind of like your drunk old, like, racist white uncle, like, who's going to say some horrible things sometimes. Like, that's just Don Cherry. He's a nightmare, that guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of people, and there's a lot of good, and there's a lot of bad.
I think Pierre Maguire's the worst, though. When Kendall Coyne, after she did the All-Star game and she skated so fast, his behavior in between the benches with her, I thought was horrible. Like,
it was so creepy.
Like, yeah, it was so creepy. Like, it was like a male from Twitter came to life, like one of those creepy male guys we were just speaking about on Twitter. That's Pierre Maguire, like, personified. He was so weird. Like, he was like mansplained everything to her. Like, oh, this is how it works here now, Kendall. He was like grabbing her by the waist. Like, oh my God.
Yeah. Like, I feel like the mansplaining also is like a cringeworthy. Like, that is just, and a lot of guys don't understand. Like, when you're like, oh, like, you're mansplaining. They're like, no, like, I'm just trying to help. I'm like, no, like, they don't need help.
But watching the same game you are, like, they can interpret it any way they want.
I mean, it's just, it happens all the time. It happens on Twitter. It happens at, but I had the worst experience on the 4th of July. I love hockey. I love to talk about hockey anytime I can. Like, if I see someone, I'm in the U.S., so, like, I'm not in Canada, or in Canada, like, hockey is everything. The U.S., not so much. So, like, if I see someone wearing hockey gear, like, I don't care what you're wearing. Like, I'm going to strike up a conversation with you, because I'm, like, especially in the summer, like, I'm thirsty for hockey talk. So, at the bar with my girlfriends, and this guy comes in with a Penguins hat on. And I hate the Penguins, but I'm like, hell yeah, like, let's talk hockey. So I, like, make a comment, and he just goes in. Like, I think my comment was something like, oh, like, you know, Penguins are the worst, or something snarky, but, like, joking. And he was like, oh, like, you probably have no idea what you're talking about. Like, I'm not going to let some girl, like, you know, tell me about my team. And I'm like, yo, dude, like, that wasn't, like, what I was trying to do. I just, like, I'm a big hockey fan, like, you know, I'm a journalist, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, yeah, like, bullshit. Like, just so rude.
Oh, and yeah, like, it's the culture, right?
Okay, like these, and, like, I was just trying to talk hockey. Like, I'm my bad. But, yeah, I think it's just, there's good and bad, like I always say. But a lot of cringe. I think a lot of, me and my girls on the team always say, like, hitting on us is not a form of flattery. I'd much rather you, like, talk about an article that I wrote than, you know, comment on a selfie. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah, like, it's more, yeah, I agree. It's more important to focus on the work at hand. And like we said, it's a strange world out there, but obviously whatever you guys are doing there, you've expanded now. It is clearly working now. Let's say it's August 21st, 2020. What are you hoping to accomplish this year? What are you looking to do? What's the plan for Puck Rap?
That is a hard question. So I don't know if, like, I don't really talk about it often, but I founded this a little over a year ago, and it was a one-woman show until November of last year. So we haven't even been a company for a year yet. It was literally just me and my blog. So I think that this year has exceeded every expectation I ever possibly had. You know, I was living in Chicago a year and a half ago and had no real, you know, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And then I moved back to the East Coast and kind of started this on a whim. And it's just been such a wild ride. So I don't know if I could say if there's a definite place that I want to be in a year. I think that I definitely want to continue to expand. My long-term goal is to be in every NHL city. And then I would love to just cover, you know, all avenues of sports. I would love to cover, you know, women's leagues. I would love to have someone covering just women's hockey. But I think I'm kind of just going to try and take it one step at a time and enjoy the ride. But I definitely, we always joke around. We want to be like the, you know, women empowered version of Barstool. With, you know, less assholes. So I would love to just create, like, fun quality content and have people in every city representing my brand and my message. And I just want to create something where young girls can have a voice. And, you know, I don't have an age limit for the people I hire. Like, if you're good, if you're dedicated, I'll hire you. And I think it's really important just to give women a place to get published. And yeah, like I'm not the biggest outlet. I'm not, you know, one of the major news, you know, sites, but I think that, you know, we do have a platform and it's good to use that for good, not evil. So yeah, I guess in a year, I just want to continue growing, continue expanding, hopefully be making a profit. That would be very nice. I'd love to have Pucker Up be my full-time job. And, you know, be fully credentialed for every NHL team that we cover. I think that's coming very soon. But I would love for mm-hmm. that to be, you know, definitely dead set come next year.
Yeah, and if you get credentialed for the All-Star game and you need a couple guys, I know me and Cam Boner, we're doing it. We're going to be drinking. We're showing up whether we got the passes or not. No, I'm just kidding. Nick, thanks for dropping by and doing this. It's the dog days of summer. When I saw your expansion, I knew we needed to talk about it. And it's always good hearing from you. You're one of the good people I've met so far in this game, because I think we kind of started around the same time. So
Yeah. No, I appreciate you having me on. Always fun to talk. Anytime, I'm always down to pop on, share some good word.
That's awesome. All right, everybody. This has been the second installment of our summer interview series with Nikki Giordano of Pucker Up Sports. Nikki, thanks for dropping by.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care now.